Well, friends, we turn together to that passage in John, which we read. As if you just joined us, it's John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and we're going to read just now at verse 6. John 14, reading at verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, that is to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, you'll remember that last Lord's Day morning, we began looking together at this verse, this I am statement of Christ. And you'll remember, those of you who were here, that I said then that we were going to spend 3 weeks looking at this verse. Last Lord's Day morning, we looked at the first part of the verse, where Jesus says, I am the way. And we saw three things, didn't we? We saw, first of all, that Jesus shows us the way. And that is a great blessing, and something that we stand sorely in need of. Then we saw, secondly, that not only does he show us the way, but secondly, he made the way. He's not showing us a way that someone else has made. He's showing us a way that he himself has made. And then thirdly, we saw that not only does he show us the way, not only does he make the way, but he himself is the way. He is the way to the Father. He is the way to peace. He is the way to life, and so on. And do you remember what sort of way it was? Well, we said five things. We said it was a safe way. We said it was a free way. We said it was a narrow way. We said it was the only way. And we said it was an open way. Well, we come today to the second. The second of the three. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. We come this morning to these words, I am the truth. Now I'm going to say five things today about this statement of Christ's. I want us to begin by noticing that this is an astonishing statement. This is an astonishing statement. Now, like so much else in the Bible, we are so familiar with it, it doesn't astonish us. We don't bat an eyelid when we read it. But we should bat an eyelid. It should cause us to sit up and take notice. Friends, this is an astonishing statement. Let's look at it. Jesus is not saying, I know the truth. He certainly did. But that's not what he's saying. He's not saying, I have discovered or I have uncovered the truth. He's not saying, I am party to the greatest and the best knowledge there is. That in itself would be a remarkable claim. For anybody to be able to say, I know the truth. But no, Jesus is not merely saying, I know the truth. He is saying, I am the truth. I am the truth. In other words, he's saying, the truth and I are so closely identified that I am the truth. Friends, this is astonishing. This is one of these occasions where the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ himself simply won't allow us to say, you know, as people sometimes say about the Lord, oh well, he was a good man and he went about doing good and he said some wise things, that's all there is. No, Jesus here is saying and claiming far, far more than that. Now, children, high school children, those of you who are in the high school and were at the Gaelic Assembly last Friday that I took, you'll remember that we looked together there at another verse in the Bible which does exactly the same thing, which confronts us with the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked there, didn't we, at these words, "I am the light of the world." And we saw there on Friday that the Lord there was making a claim which raises him far, far above you and I and the rest of humanity. He was claiming to be God. "I am the light of the world." Well, here he is doing the same thing. "I am the truth." Now we'll unpack that as we go along. But I want to remind you just now of something that happened at the very end of the Lord's ministry in this world. He had been arrested. He was there, a prisoner bound before the Roman governor Pilate. And Pilate is questioning him. And the Lord doesn't say a lot to Pilate, but he does say this much. "I am come," he said, "into the world to bear witness to the truth." That's why I'm here, Pilate. That's what I'm about. And Pilate, the worldly wise cynic that he was, he said sarcastically, maybe wearily, I don't know. But he said, as he looked at the Lord, "Truth? What is truth?" Now Jesus doesn't respond to that. But in the light of this verse, he could have said, "What is truth, Pilate? You're looking at truth. You're in the very presence of truth. I am truth." It's an astonishing statement. But secondly, and this ties in with something I've said already, secondly, it's an unmistakable statement. It's an unmistakable statement. Let's be clear, friends. Jesus here is making a divine claim. These disciples to whom the Lord was speaking there, they knew their Old Testaments. They knew what the Old Testament said about the nature and the character of God. They knew that there were verses in the Old Testament which made clear that God was truth, and that ultimately only God was truth. We sang of it there in Psalm 78. The God of truth. You sang of it since you came in yourselves, children. Psalm 25, the whole paths of the Lord are truth and mercy sure. Now we live in a world, and no wonder Pilate said what he said. We live in a world where there is at times very little truth. Because of sin, because of our sinful natures, we are no longer what we were when we were created. When God created man, man was a truthful creature. You could go to Adam and you could be sure he would tell you the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. There were no courts of law in those days, of course, they didn't need them. But if there had been, and Adam had been a witness in the court, you wouldn't have needed to get a Bible and make Adam put his hand on it and say, "I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth." Because Adam didn't do anything else. He couldn't do anything else. But sin came in, of course. And Adam, and every man, woman, boy and girl descended from him, became liable to be deceivers, and became liable to be deceived. Lies came in, and we spent weeks and weeks, didn't we, last winter, going through Genesis 3, and we saw the way the lie came in. We can't be depended on. But Jesus is saying that he was different. That he was distinct. That he wasn't affected and infected by this poison of lies that spread throughout mankind. I am the truth. It's an unmistakable claim. Now, if I said it, imagine me or somebody else saying, I am the truth. You sometimes get these cult leaders saying it. They say, I am the truth. Well, friends, for me or anybody else to say it would be at best absurd. And at worst, the height of blasphemy. Now we've got to square with the fact that either the Lord Jesus Christ knew what he was saying and meant what he was saying, or he was blaspheming at a very high level in these words. And there was no one, friends, more careful about guarding against blasphemy than the Lord Jesus Christ. No one more careful to guard the person and the character of God than the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he says, I am truth. The meaning, the implication of his words are unmistakable. He was making a divine claim. He was saying that there was no truth outside of himself. God is light, says John. And in him is no darkness at all. Whoever or whatever contradicts him is not truth. You remember the way that comes up in 1 John in regard to the denial that we really are sinners. What does John say? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Do you remember what it says after that? And the truth is not in us. The truth is not in us. I am the truth, he says. It's an astonishing claim. And it's an unmistakable claim. He was staking his claim to divinity. He was saying, I, as much as the Father, am God. The poet puts it like this. Listen to this. He's taken the words of Jesus. I am the truth of God. I do not claim, I merely speak the truth, as though I were a prophet and no more. The claim to speak the truth, good men applaud. I claim much more. I am the truth of God. The claim to speak the truth, good men applaud. I claim much more. I am the truth of God. But we must move on. It's an astonishing claim. It's an unmistakable claim. Thirdly, it's a challenging claim. Now this ties in with what I was talking about the high school assembly. It's a challenging claim. Friends, this verse puts us in a corner. We have to reckon with this verse. We must accept it or reject it. We must make a judgment. Is it true or is it false? It doesn't allow us to be neutral. And if it's true, and of course I'm not putting a question mark in there, if it's true, and it is, then that has huge and eternal implications. It means that if we turn from Christ, we are turning from the truth. If we reject Christ, we are rejecting the truth. And if we are rejecting the truth, the only other alternative is the one who is described in the Bible as the father of lies, who came into Eden with his lies, who corrupted and destroyed mankind and the world in which they lived. And he's still doing the same thing. Now either we are aligned with Christ and the truth, or we are aligned with the father of lies and lies. It's a challenging statement. It doesn't leave us room to find neutral ground or a grey area. There's no grey area. And surely, friend, you would want no part of the father of lies. Imagine an eternity of that. What a thought that is. I was pondering that this week as I was looking at the verse. I was pondering an eternity in... You can't really ponder it. I was thinking of an eternity, spending eternity in a lost eternity, where everything was false, where there was no truth ever, ever, ever. And I realized very quickly I couldn't comprehend it. But what little I could comprehend was truly appalling. It's an astonishing statement. It's an unmistakable statement. It's a claim to divinity. It's a challenging statement. It puts us in a corner. Fourthly, it's a helpful statement. It's a helpful statement. It directs us where to go. It tells us where we can inquire after truth. Because John 14 verse 6 is in the Bible. We don't need to waste time trying to find truth. We don't need to waste time looking into this philosophy and that idea and the next teaching and this claim and that claim. We don't need to waste any time on it. Now I have a friend, and he spent a long time doing just that. Didn't grow up under the gospel, didn't have a Bible, didn't know his shorter catechism, didn't have any of these things. Didn't have a clue. But gradually, as he saw creation in its glory, he said, well, there must be a God. But he didn't know where to begin to look for this God. And so he went to a library, and he got books on world religions, and he read this, and he read that. And months, and weeks, and years went by. And he he tried this and then that and the next thing. And they all left him empty. Until he came at last to the New Testament. Until he came to John 14. Till he came to this very verse. And what did he read? Jesus saith to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he still speaks of the time he wasted. He said, I was looking for the truth. And I found it here. Friends, we don't need to waste time. We don't need to waste our lives. You want the truth about God, you'll find it here. You want the truth about mankind in general, you'll find it here. You want the truth about yourself, uncomfortable as it is, you'll find it here. You remember what we sang in Psalm 25? Show me thy ways, O Lord. Lead me in thy truth. And the Lord says, I am the truth. He directs us to the one we must go to. It's a helpful statement. And because I've spoken on this morning, it means that nobody here need ever say that no one told them where the truth was, that no one directed them to the truth. Even if you have heard nothing I've said for the last 2 years, listen just now. I take record that on the 13th of September 2012, I told you, I directed you to where the truth was to be found, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've all been in these big stores, haven't we? And you go into these big stores in Inverness and maybe in the other cities, and you've never been in them before, and you don't have a clue where to start. You're looking for something, but you don't know whether you're going to go that way or straight ahead. And you wander about, and we've all done it probably. You wander about, and you're looking, and you can't find it. And eventually you see a member of staff, and you say, I'm looking for such and such. And say, oh yes, it's down there. And it's so easy when they tell you. And you go, and it's there. Well, friends, this verse is a signpost. This is a signpost to our souls. You want the truth? I am the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the truth. The truth who is able to satisfy the desires and the longings of the human heart. We find real satisfaction. Isn't this true, Christian friend? We find real satisfaction in the truth. It's an astonishing statement. It's an unmistakable statement. It's a challenging statement. It's a helpful statement. Fifthly, it's a reassuring statement. And it reassures two groups of people. First of all, it's reassuring for anyone who is seeking the truth. We live in a confusing world, don't we? Maybe you're saying, where can I find truth? Maybe you're saying, friend, is there any truth at all? Is it just a meaningless world in a meaningless universe? Now, teenagers, you're getting older. You're grappling with these issues. Is it just a meaningless world? Well, I'll tell you now. That's all evolution has to offer you. That's all humanism has to offer you. That's the bottom line. It's a meaningless world that was created by some massive accident or other. You have no meaning, I have no meaning, nothing has any meaning. There's no God, there's no truth. Truth, they say, is relative. It changes from year to year and from age to age. What was true then may not be true in the future. Your life has no meaning, your life has no purpose. What is man's chief end? Says the Catechism of Humanism. Man's chief end is nothing. He has no chief end. What a bleak, depressing world that is. No wonder so many who know nothing better give up in despair. In that bleak world, there is no right and no wrong. There is no past worth talking about. There is no future to look forward to. You live and you die, and that's the beginning and the end and the sum total. And there is no meaning to it. And then along comes the Word of God, and it tells us there is meaning, and there is purpose. And it says man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's the contrast. And if you are seeking the truth, this verse is reassuring. Jesus is saying there is truth. The truth is out there. And it's found in its entirety. In Himself. His doctrine, His teaching is truth. His promises are truth. His warnings are truth. His saving work on the cross is truth, because it's based on truth and justice. Are you saying, if only I knew what was true, if only I knew what was certain, what could be depended on, I'd go there, I'd rest there, but I'm confused and I'm uncertain? Look no further. I am the truth. Here is the way to life. Here is the way to peace. Here is the true way, in opposition to every delusion of fallen man. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without the way, there is no going. But without the truth, there is no knowing. And as we'll see next time, without the life, there is no living. But with the way, the truth, and the life, there is a going and a knowing and a living. He is the way we saw last week. He is the way that we must follow. And now He is the truth that we must believe. It's reassuring for anyone seeking the truth. But secondly, it's reassuring for those who have found the truth. Christian friend, you've come to Christ. You've come to rest in Christ. But Satan says to you sometimes, are you sure? Are you sure? Well, this morning, this text says to you, you can be very sure. Because He is the truth. We can rest assured that His saving work is truth. Isn't it astonishing? He came into the world and He was truth. And what did He do? On the cross of Calvary, He took the place of liars and deceivers. He was numbered with the transgressors. He was judged by heaven itself as a liar, though He had never told the total lie. He was judged in the sight of heaven as a murderer, though He had never taken life. He was judged in the sight of heaven as a blasphemer. The guilt and the sin of his people was poured upon him, and he bore it as a burden, and he carried it away, and he made atonement. So that liars and blasphemers and murderers could have peace and pardon put into their very hand. Will you reach out and take it, this pardon, this grace, this mercy, this adoption that is there but for the taking? I am the truth. And you need to come to know this truth as Lord and Savior. I am the truth. And you shall know the truth. You know what he says then? And the truth shall set you free. I love that verse. The truth shall set you free. Free from the chains of sin, which we just can't break. Free from the maddening, empty, delusional philosophies of this world, which take us nowhere. Free from guilt. Free from everything that is bad. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Ah, Lord, show us the truth. Oh, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.